All right. Let's open the Bible to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah, the size, he's a very short guy, about the height of knee. Some of you guys, some of you didn't get it, that's fine. If you have the same Bible like I do, it's 787 page. That helps, right? No, whatever. Everybody had to chip in. Okay, let's go to the last verse of chapter 1. We'll start from verse 11. The Lord, I pray, O Lord, I pray, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Let your servant prosper this day, I pray. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. I asked you on the line that this man the last time, and then it said that that's King Artaxerxes, and his occupation of Nehemiah is, we see it, 40 hours king's cupbearer. In other words, he's the guy who tastes the food before the king. Something is wrong with that food, and sayonara cupbearer, long live king, and get another cupbearer. It's a lousy job, but guess what, though? You have to have a very good rapport with the king to be in that position. In other words, he, as a second generation captivity captive, he rides to the area where very close to the hidden king, and he is representing himself as man of God very well. We find more about him. Anyway, I'd like to point a few things in to you guys, to your attention. Number one, when we ask God, whenever we feel that God is leading us, I have to rephrase it, whenever God is leading us to do something, he has a particular step. This is in my work with the Christ, I learned this thing that has a particular way to do it. He does not follow the man's formula, but he, in a way, he has his own style. First, he, out of our concern, and he put the burden in our heart, he put the, in a way I call it, assignment or burden, because lack of a vocabulary, I would say burden. He put the things in our heart that out of our concern, we come to him. So we can make a confession. Number one, he put the things in our heart, the burden or assignment, whatever you want to call it. Number two, we have to confess that we need to take care of this, and we don't know who's going to take care of it, so we come to him. And third thing that I find is that we have to commit ourselves to pray or to assist or to what? Lead. Not everybody is called to lead. We talked about this. Not everybody is called to assist. There are some people called to be the leaders. There are some called to be the follower. Is it bad to be a follower, or is it better to be a leader? No difference in God's sight. If we are all leaders, we are all Indian chief, and there's no soldiers, and we cannot fight. And most of the time, we will butt our heads to each other's, and we don't go anywhere. So we need an Indian chief, and we need the soldiers. Leader need to have a vision. That vision is given by God. Some of you guys from familiar with the different style of church government, and those who read the Calvary Chapel of Distinctives are familiar with what I'm talking about. If you haven't read the Calvary Chapel of Distinctives, I highly recommend to read. It's in the store. How many we have in the bookstore? Okay. Few, right? Yeah. Calvary Chapel government is pastor received the vision from the Lord, and there's a group of elders. If I may draw the diagram, here's a God, and here's a pastor. And underneath there's elders, and underneath deacons, and underneath there's a congregation. All right. Between the elders and pastor, there is a staff we call. And when they cause a problem, we get to have a staff infection. Sorry, that's pony joke, I know. And this, among the staff, there is a two different style of pastoral staff and operational staff. Pastoral staff is a staff with associate pastors and assistant pastors. And that's a pastoral staff and the operational staffs, such as building superintendent or building maintenance or whoever. Hi, John. And in my opinion, none of them is any greater, none of them is any less. Associate pastor is about same level, but still under the pastor, senior pastor. And elders, among the elders, there's a call we call ruling elders or board of directors. These people support the pastors. They don't tell him. That's not committee. In a way, it's a committee. But they are the one who will keep the pastor accountable. And you might say, what if pastor go wrong? Well, we have a backup plan. So they are the one who make major decisions. In our church, Calvary Chapel, Sorita, if anything goes more than $500 worth, I have to ask them. If it's less than $500, I can make my own decision. That way, I don't have to bug them. Can I buy the tweezers? They have a better thing to do than asking, granting for the tweezers. And the elders will come on and support. And the elders watch over the deacons who handle the ministries. And at this point, we do not have elders. We do not have deacons. Down the road, we will make them. About close to 1 year, and we'll bring up the group of men who are the deacons, and we'll appoint them. And I'm going to ask you guys to look around, and I will let them know, okay, this is the guy whom I like to appoint, and if there is any problem, come talk to me. And, okay, so this is how it works. Same way as episcopal style. There is no committee. In Calvary Chapel, we don't vote out the pastor. We don't vote the pastor in. That means we are not hiring. We are here to stay and receive a vision from God and go on. What if that pastor become bad? There is a group of Calvary Chapel pastors in Arizona who, when, let's say, I do stupid thing, and I promise to you, if I do stupid thing, I'll be the first one to kick myself out. So you don't have to worry about it. But if I choose to stay, this is my church, and then a group of pastors among the Calvary Chapel, they will form the committee, they will listen to me, and they will listen to the elders who try to kick me out, and they will decide who is right. And then if I'm wrong, they will erase me. That's how it works. And as a matter of fact, it happened not very long ago. Calvary Chapel, Pastor Camp in Camp Birdie. He was using prescription drug way too much. He is out. So, trust me, when it comes to the eliminating pastor, Calvary Chapel is a very beer. And I'm on the board of directors for the Calvary Chapel of Durango and White Mountains. And I told you to some of you guys before, and I told both of them, if you do something wrong, if you are unfaithful to your wife, and you cause a problem, I will do everything within my power to remove you from the pulpit because you lost faith and trust from your congregation. But I will do everything to help you in your private life, to put your life back together. So if you don't like this system, sorry, live with it. Okay? And, you know, that's, you guys have, some, if you're not familiar with it, you kind of have to live, something you have to learn to like it if you choose to stay in Calvary Chapel. Why do we do it this way? Because if you noticed, Exodus was not done by committee. Did you notice that? Exodus was not done by committee. It was one man received a vision from God who thought he, at the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was somebody. And then he realized he's nobody without God. And he was there in the desert for 40 years. He was happy with the being of nobody. And God called him, use nobody to be somebody. God didn't use a committee. So God directs a person, and if that person is in tune with the Spirit, he will lead. All right. Having said that, we have a burden from God, and we confess we cannot do anything, and he will allow us to either commit ourselves to be the leader or follower or supporter, and then God will move. Verse 1 of chapter 2, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this Nehemiah, this individual is a very, very special godly man. Let us learn from how he did. That's the reason why you put him in the book, the Word of God. So we ask you to let us open our heart to receive your direction, so that we may honor you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, it's not Toyota, in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes. Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 1. It came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, Citadel, then, and goes on. What did I tell you about Kislev? What's the month? December. All right. December of the 20th of King Artaxerxes. All right. That's good. What is a Nisan? When you look at it, the history is a Nisan is April. So we have a 20th year of King Artaxerxes. And here's a Nisan. And here's a Kislev. And this is a December. And this is April. Is the Bible all of a sudden going backward? Let's read the rest of it. It came to pass months of Nisan in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, and verse 1 continues, and wine was it before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been set in his presence before, therefore king said to me. So in other words, within the context, seems like what's happening now is, seems like after happened in Kislev, December. How are we going to explain that this is April and it's December? Is the Bible, What? Is the Bible contradicting?
No, I looked it up.
Oh. King's year does not start with from January to December or August fiscal year to July. King's year start with inauguration. So he can start any time between April and December. Let's say he started in July. So this is the first of the month, the first part of the year, of year 1 or year 20th. So Kislev comes first and Nisan comes later. Am I making sense to you? So the Bible does not contradict itself. We are the one who has a hard time understanding because we tend to have a Western mind. Carolyn, you have a question?
I should call
it
inauguration.
Inauguration? Just put the I-N-A-G.
I didn't figure it out later.
Yeah, just go home and look at the Webster's. All right. Between the verse 1 and chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's a 4 months period of waiting and praying. This guy is diligent in praying and waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, just because God put the burden in your heart, that doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. God put the burden in my heart about being a pastor and went on for several years without me realizing what's going to happen. When somebody, Fred Alvarez, bond buddy for you, and some of you guys know him very well, he's a wonderful man. He said, why don't you come to Sarita, start a church? And I said, so what? I couldn't even pronounce it. What, how you say that thing? Is that this side of the border or the other side of the border? Anyway, I didn't know there was a town, Sarita. And now I'm here. You never know what, how the God's going to open the door. But when God opened the door, no man can close. And the Moors didn't think they're going to come down. And they moved down. All right, let's read verse 1b. When the wine was before him, I took the wine and I gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore, king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but a sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully feared, afraid. Why is it a big deal for him to have a sad face? That translated in that time, that means he is dissatisfied with the king. Guess what happened if somebody is dissatisfied with the king? There we go, off his shoulder, off his head, and you know, from the shoulder, just out the door. Now, we are going to deal with a very interesting thing. How many of you guys understand the STP? Any of you guys know the what the STP stands for? STP. Sorry, pen. It's not oil. It's a business lingo. Situation, target, proposal. When you make a business proposal, this is the best way to write. Let them know where the situation is and let them know what can we achieve and let them know how we can achieve. Why don't we put the situation, proposal, and then target? Remember, the people who read that thing usually say, give me the bottom line. Okay. So let them know work or what kind of situation is and how we can come, what kinds of benefit we can have and how we're going to approach that. If you know, if you have this in mind, you will find that thing in the same way here. By the way, if you want to come to me and want to talk to me about some of the ministry, try this one in my work. Actually, it works very well. Verse 3. Nehemiah is choosing the word very carefully because now he's fearfully afraid. If you notice the Bible, notice the Bible is so honest. It shows human side of Nehemiah. He was dreadfully afraid. He could say, well, he boldly said, no, God is telling us. Through his word, he feared. Verse 3, and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city of the place of my father's tomb lie wasted and its gate was burned with fire? So what is that situation? Following verses show the quality of the man. Okay. Now the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I prayed to the God of heaven. I like to emphasize that to you guys. You might want to underline and put that in your heart. Before he opened his mouth, started to speak to the king, he quickly prayed to God. I don't think he said, oh, mighty God of the universe. He didn't go long drawn thing. Just like Peter, when he was sinking into the water after he started to walk on water, he didn't say, oh, Jesus Nazareth, the King, the Redeemer of all generations. He said, Lord, help me. So My thought is, when you have a chance to talk to somebody, to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, before you start to spit out the gospel, ask God of you. Lord, put the word in my mouth and let's speak. See how the Holy Spirit will operate in, within you. He is quickly prayed. And how many of you know the guy named Hertz Miller, inland China missionary? He said this, it is possible to move man through God by prayer alone. I agree and I disagree. As I said before, does prayer do anything? No. It's God who does anything, does everything. Let's go to the Proverbs chapter 21 and 1. How many of you guys have a boss who is kind of less than what you like to have? There are a few nod and yeah, that kind of thing. Proverbs 21, 1. And this is not for the boss, and this is for any situation. No one I'm going to talk to is that person. May not know Jesus like you do. So, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, like a river of the water. He turns, is a capital he turns wherever he wishes. In other words, us think that, or the, when we talking to, think that they can make up their own mind. No, they do not. It is God who controls them. It is known that the Bible says, "Man decide the man the path they want to walk, but it is God who decides the path." And one more verse in Proverbs chapter 16. This is something we must understand the principle of that. Chapter 16, verse 7. Okay, chapter 16, verse 7 says, "When man's way please the Lord." God, makes even his enemy to be of peace with him. In other words, if we please God, even if there's a person who just aggravates us to and those who are against us, that may person to be at peace with us. It is important for us to remember. Now, we got a situation, walls down, this is burned, there's lying a bear. In his keen mind, Nehemiah presenting target. Verse 5. And I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant found a favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to the Judah and to the city of my father's tomb that I may rebuild it. There's a target. Rebuild it. Then the king said to me, queen also sitting next beside him, this king, King Alexei, is the stepson of Queen Esther. So he keenly aware of Jewish custom. How long will your journey be? And when will you return? In other words, people, the king and queen really loves this guy. Of course they would love him because he's the guy who's going to do that first, right? Fall guy. So if it pleased the king to send me and I set him a time. He was then that God's going to do what he's going about to ask. How he knows this God's going to do. It's not name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Okay? This is not, you know, if you have enough faith, you can have whatever you want. No. He planned. He prayed. While he's praying, he's himself aligned as well. How am I going to support that? What I just said? Let's go to verse, I'm going to ask. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John is way in the back. First John 5, verse 14 and 15. If you guys ever doubt God's will, and you sometimes you feel like you're wondering, if God ever listened to me while I'm praying to God about this particular thing, let this verse to be the verse that keep you alive. This to me. Verse 14. Now this is underlying confidence that we have in who? God. So underline confidence and line in him. Confidence in him that if we ask anything, don't stop there. The key line is next couple three words, forward. According to whose will? My will? His will. So in other words, we have a confidence in what we ask, if that whatever we ask goes with His will. Let's read it again. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have vision that we have of Him. Does it mean it's going to be yes all the time? No. When God says no, that's the answer of our prayer. When God says wait, that's the answer of our prayer. We only think that yes is the answer of our prayer. No, it's not. We ask for if God willing knock the wall down the modular building. God says no. He gave us a 225 seat to adore Him. So we can move in and out every Sunday. All right. King Xerxes told him, okay, you can go build the wall. That particular day is March 14th, year 445 BC. How do we know? Because it's written in this Persia kingdom history. March 14th, 445 BC. We'll do a big deal, right? How long the Jews been in the kingdom of Babylon and Persia? How long they've been?
7 years.
7 years. Why did they go out there for 7 years? Because they didn't keep the time schedule God designated them. Every 7 years, rest your land. They didn't do it. 490 years. So kick them out to keep the 70, to get the years back. They have were captive for 7 years. Now, according to prophecy that comes, now, according to our Bible, comes after the Nehemiah, but Daniel is written before Nehemiah, correct? Yes? No? You don't care?
Yes.
Okay. Nehemiah is written after Daniel. Let's go to chapter 9 of Daniel. Daniel is right after the Ezekiel, chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 20. All right. Everybody there? Yes? No? We're there? Getting there? Going once? Going twice? I love to hear the flipping sound. All right. Now, while I was speaking and praying, this is Daniel speaking, confessing my sin and sins of my people Israel and presenting my submission before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain, my God. Yes. While I was speaking in prayer, a man Gabriel, I had seen in the vision at the beginning, and caused to fly swiftly, reach me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, I have come to tell you, for you are clearly beloved, and therefore consider the matter, understand and vision. 70 weeks are determined. You might underline the weeks. That weeks, we have lousy translation. That weeks in Jewish word, this week has a two-way word, years or weeks. Fourth, your people for your holy city to finish the transgression and to make the end of the sin, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring the everlasting righteousness, to seal vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know, therefore, understand that from the going forth of the command to restore the build of Jerusalem, who's going to rebuild Jerusalem again? Nehemiah. The Shokai. Until Messiah prince, there is a kicker. That's the fulfillment of prophecy coming. There shall be the 70 weeks and the 62 weeks. And street walls shall be built again in the wall. And even the troublesome times. And goes on. All right. I'm not going to go into detail to talk about it because that's the point I'm going to present. It's going to end up in the 69 weeks because each time we they counted this, each seven years, and seven years have to subtract one of them. So they end up having a six, instead of 70 times seven, it should be 490, because you have every, I didn't say the seven, but it has, should be 7 years. You have to subtract one, so you end up having 480 years. 483 years, pause. So 483 years. Now, is that our years? No, it's Middle East. How many years do we have in, how many years? Let's try. How many days do we have in a year? 365 average. Right? However, in the Babylon and Jewish year, there's 360 days. Times 360 comes to the 1,773,880 days. So if you calculate from March 14th, 440 BC, if you calculate date, 173,880 days, guess where that comes to? 8032 April 6 happened to be the day just rode donkey into the Jerusalem. It's been prophesied that you might want on the line of verse 25, until Messiah the Prince. Okay. So it's been prophesied and fulfilled to the date. From March 14th, 445 BC to April 6th, 3280, triumphant entry of Jesus Christ to the Jerusalem. So God used hidden king to rebuild the Jerusalem wall, which the prophecy
that was 445
BC, March 14th, to be exact. And then 3280 April 6th. Reflecting King's question, now I'm just changing the story back to the what we've been talking about. They showed a deep appreciation for Nehemiah's work. This brings up another subject. When we work, we're supposed to work unto the Lord. Whatever we do, if we draw a paycheck from somebody else, we're supposed to work wholeheartedly. Where do we find it? Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians, right after Philippians. Huh? Before the First Timothy, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Bondservant, obey in all things the master according to your flesh, not with eye service, as man pleaser, but in the sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Heartily to the Lord, not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, but you who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Oops. So we are supposed to work to the Lord, not necessarily to our boss. Nehemiah went back to this king and queen when? 12 years later. Excuse me. Now, we saw the situation, we saw how he's going to present this. All we are going to find the qualification of the leader. Setting the timeline and setting the cost of expense of the particular project is one of the very important qualification of the leader. Some of you guys know I headed up to the head the pastor's conference. I learned a tremendous thing from the Lord. When I do the work, here's a setting the event date, March 8, 9, 10th. I backtrack how many days I'm going to need for the printing, how many days I'm going to need for the building a website, backtrack and measure, set the time. Now, when I do that, I always give a buffer time of 4 days to 7 days. In case something wrong, I always have a buffer time. try to do that when you plan something ahead. Here's your event date, backtrack. Give us some extra time to move around. It works very well. Luke chapter 14, verse 20. Chapter 14, 28. Jesus speaking. Of course, it's in red letter. For which of you intending to build a tower does not down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to last, after he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish? All who see it began to mock him and saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. It is important for us to count the cost. This not just apply to the project, also apply to following Jesus Christ. We should count the cost because it costs everything for us to follow. All right, let's see the proposal 7 of Nehemiah. Let's go back to Nehemiah. Am I going too fast, too slow? Are you bored? Furthermore, I said to you, to the king, if it please the king, let the letter be given to me. Here's a proposal. He thought through, he prepared, and he was praying. He given to me the governor of the region beyond the river. They must permit me pass through until I come to the Judah. And the letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's house, that he must give me the timber to the maker to make beams for the gate of the citadel, which pertain to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hands of my God upon him. Underline, good hands I got upon him, upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. And the king has sent the captain of the army and horsemen me. All right. As I said, Nehemiah prayed and waited. He also prepared how to make a proposal to the king. Excuse me. And also he remembered, because the good hand of my God upon me has nothing to do with his fancy proposal. He has nothing to do with his waiting. He has everything to do with God. Let's remember, when our church grow deep, Lord, and grow big in the Lord, it is God. It's not us. I know you guys are working hard, but you guys working, remember, you guys working hard for Jesus, not for Calvary Chapel. Certainly not for me. However, whenever we have this kind of good thing going on, guess what happened? Who comes up against us? Enemies, Satan. And the world comes against us. Without them, it's no fun, right? So we got an enemy to buff us. Verse 8 and 10, we find that geographical distance of 8 miles. Verse 10. When Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah, an Ammonite official, heard of it, they are deeply disturbed. The man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Well, you see a lot of this termite, all of that stuff. You can say that these are the flesh. This is enemy from Satan. We have an enemy. This is not just past thing. This happens good all the time. If you notice, some of you guys' life is disturbing more than ever before, so you study Calvary Chapel with us. And it feels like some hit the fan and spreading all over. It gets worse. However, God is in control. Immediate courage is needed. Man like Nehemiah says, I will rise and build. And Satan say, allies, oppose, and destroy. That's a given, expected. And at the same time, whenever this kind of discouragement and opposition comes, it can be good affirmation that we are doing God's will. Think that we are doing God's will. Exodus 5, please, Exodus 5. Let's go to the second book of the Bible. Verse 6. This is a good example. The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people the straw to make a bricks for. Let them go get straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them a quarter of the bricks which they may fall. You shall not reduce it. For they are idle before, therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work laid on them, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard the false word." Have you ever noticed that whenever we try to walk with God, things go wrong? So you feel like you're jumping out of the frying pan into fire. And you think, how can it go worse than it is? Yes, it gets worse than that. Opposition, our enemy, Satan, tried to put the doubt in our heart. Remember what I said before. Faith and doubt cannot coexist. They are mutually exclusive. Either you have faith or you have doubt. Let's make applications. Number one, changing the heart is God's specialty. Changing the heart is God's specialty. We cannot change people's heart. Some of you know that. I'm going through this. I have somebody I know, close to me, is not willing to change their heart. But God can change that person. As I said, a man plans the way, but God is the one who their path. Number two, application number two. Prayer and waiting goes hand in hand. Prayer and waiting goes hand in hand. We really haven't prayed until we learn to wait upon God. We really haven't prayed until we learn to wait upon God. God often purposely makes us to wait to depend on Him. Some of you guys still who've been in the longer, you know what I'm talking about. Third application. Faith is not synonym for disorder or substitute for careful planning. Faith is not synonym for disorder or substitute for careful planning. We have to count. We have to prepare. God honors and expects careful thinking and planning as His faithful children. Fourth application. Opposition often affirm being in the will of God. Opposition often affirm being in the will of God. It doesn't mean always. We have an opposition, we have a bad situation because of our stupidity. If I go berserk with my credit card, that doesn't mean I'm doing the will of God financially. No, I did a stupid thing with the credit card. So that has nothing to do with the will of God. It had everything to do with my stupidity. Huh? Opposition often affirm the being in the will of God. I didn't always, often. Not all the time. All right. Questions? Disagreement? Okay for you to disagree. You're wrong. Kidding. Relax. Anything? You all agree with me? You guys are easy to get along.
You know what the thing about when it says, when we're keeping God, even our enemy.
Make a piece.
And I have experienced with some of my stuff, some of my customers are very pleasant to deal with, and others are very.